This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is hour number three of the G-Bag Nation. We're going two more here. We got coverage up until Rangers pregame at 6. Around the Mavs right here, I see this story from Callie Kaplan in the morning news. The Mavs have ruled out Kristaps Porzingis and Maxi Kleba for tomorrow night's game against the Nets. They have won 5 of 6. Porzingis has missed a lot of that time.
Just the Kings, man. Just the Kings.
Gosh.
They've won 7
what
of 10.
What is up with that?
The other three were against the Kings.
The Kings will lose like 9 straight games after they beat the Mavs.
I don't know.
A team that plays with pace, athleticism. Yeah. Maybe you're overlooking them a little bit. Bad matchup for the Mavs, though. Multiple guys that can frustrate Luka.
Do you overlook them the third time?
They have no chance against them.
No. And that's why Rick and Luka got kicked out at the end of that third matchup, because they had made it a point, we're not going to lose these guys again. Got it, coach. And then they did, and they lost their bleep. But that's tough, okay? Now, here's
it's sad.
It is. It's very sad.
Stupid.
And it also might be sad, but revealing that the Mavs are better without Porzingis.
Oh,
I knew this was going to happen
today. 877-881-1053. Now, they weren't last year. Their upside, their ceiling isn't better without Porzingis. In theory, on paper, they're not better without Porzingis, but I think we're witnessing addition by subtraction, boys.
I just think there's such a freaking roller coaster that you have no idea like what would happen with or without him, or on any given night, is Timmy going for 40 or is he going to go 1 of 9 from 3? And like, let's take last night, because it's like every Maverick game exists in its own little bubble, because you have Luka, who is the known quantity, and then, I don't know, like that's what they are. And last night, I don't know if they win that game if it's not for the rookie who 3 weeks ago we were like, well, that was a bust, he can't play.
G League.
But Josh Green comes in the game, and it's like, okay, here comes your energy, here comes defense, here comes hustle, he's forcing jump balls, all this different stuff. To the point where at the end of the second quarter, Rick goes, well, crap, we went on a run like that. He has to start the third. Josh Richardson, sit down. Josh Green's going to play. And they were able to continue it. I just think with the level of talent on the roster, it's not as good on the top 5 through 7 players as any of the teams ahead of you in the West. And so on any given night, it's just shrug your shoulders. It's like, are Dodo's shots going to fall? I know Maxie's hurt now. Is Kleba's shot going to fall? Is Timmy going to be hot? And when KP plays, is it going to fit? Is it going to flow? Is he going to be on?
Okay, so real quick, Brian. I think what he's talking about there is you don't have the talent to have a margin of error, right?
True.
Yeah.
And so you have to try your hardest. The KP chemistry dynamic causes so many guys to not play their hardest that if you just take him out of the equation, now our effort, our energy, and our game plan and our roles are so much solidified that we can afford to lose the second most talented guy.
You know what? I see where you're going with that. I just think on a nightly basis, it's like watching the old show, Let's Make a Deal. You don't know what's behind door number one. You don't know what's behind door number two. And I surely don't know what's behind door number three. I just think at night, they go out there at some nights, they don't know how it's all going to end or how it's all going to come together. I understand what you're saying about the KP thing and the chemistry issues and stuff, and maybe people are seeing him dressed on the floor. Oh, look, he's pouting. Oh, he wants the ball. Oh, he's not doing this. Oh, he's not playing defense. But I just think on a nightly basis, they know they've got one great player, and everybody else is capable of having a good enough game for them to win. I just don't. Yeah. I think that's where they're really at. I don't think the KP thing, I don't even know if that even bothers them.
And I, well, I have to get used
it might
to him
bother
not being
one
there.
Guy. It might bother right. one guy, the main guy.
Well, I think it's an interesting give and take where I think you're right that when KP doesn't play, everybody knows what it is.
Yeah.
It's all right, he's going to go do what he does.
Right.
I'll set a pick, you'll set a pick, you'll stand there, I'll stand there, we'll shoot when he gives it to us. Like, it's incredibly well-defined, and you know what you're going to do.
Uh-huh.
And the other side of that coin is when KP is there, the ceiling gets higher because now he's pick and roll guy and they have to guard out to 27 feet, but it becomes different because now it's the two man dynamic that is he going to be going there? Is he coming out here? And now when Luke is out of the game, do we cater everything to KP instead of playing sort of the flow that we were playing? And so I think there's something to that, especially with a guy that is going to miss 20 to 50% of the game.
Yeah.
Where, our ceiling is higher with Porzingis in and playing well, but do you almost have to readjust to it each time he comes back?
Yeah.
Where it's like, well, we got used to Luka goes out, Jalen becomes the primary, and we keep kind of the same thing going, just with a less good player running the show.
I don't know who the secondary star is going to be every night.
Right.
With KP, at least, I think, okay, he might be. But every other night, it's like, it's Hardaway knocking down shots.
Timmy.
Or Richardson knocking down shots. Oh, look, Finney Smith's making a steal or a key rebound or something like that. But it doesn't happen consistently. We've been talking about that for weeks.
But that's their system with Porzingis is out. I'm not going to force it to anybody. I'm
going
to throw it
fair.
To the open guy.
That's fair.
And everybody understands
that's absolutely
that.
Fair.
And then those guys, as they're in their spot in the corner or weak side waiting, don't think, well, it might be my turn to get a shot here, but Porzingis is insisting on it. You know, oh, there's Luka trying to make Porzingis happy. And then we haven't even talked about the defensive impact and how you have extra minutes for guys who can specifically go out there and give you energy and maybe lock somebody up or
that's you know. True too.
And I think it could become, and this is going to be putting way too much into one game where a guy scored 4 points. But if Josh Green is showing you a glimpse of a guy who's getting more comfortable and can bring that to your team, there's value in that. Like he's not a better player than Kristaps Porzingis. But there's value in every time a ball hits the rim. Like Russell Westbrook plays that way. Where there's a reason Russell Westbrook at, 6'4", is going to have 20 rebound nights. And it's because every single one of them, dude wants it. Mm-hmm. And he's athletic enough to have a chance to get it. And Josh Green, I got excited last night watching that dude because the ball is never the other team's without question. When a ball hits the rim, normally it's every possession. You see where everybody's set up, and it's like, all right, that guy's going to get it for him. That guy's they're going to get the defensive rebound. This dude's coming screaming because he wants it.
He's the nickel corner on a football team.
Okay.
He's the guy that's 4 rebounds last night, 3 steals. Think about 3 steals, stealing 3 possessions in a game.
Was at least 3 forced jump balls that were done by him.
It was old school dive on the deck. He's tangled up. Oh, loose ball foul. Oh, it's not on him. But, you know, that's what I'm saying.
There's a guy frustrated that it's the end of the year and he hasn't made his mark yet. Career's on the line.
That's what the Mavericks sold us about this kid.
Yeah.
Rick said, this is one of those kids. He's going to play defense. He's going to bring tough. He's going to be gritty and all that. Last night, he played like they talked about him playing.
It's about time, too, because it looked like a horrible pick. Like 3 guys.
Especially with what's going on in the league with some of these other picks that teams have had.
As far as the standings, tied with the Lakers for 5th in the West, 8 games left in the regular season. They do have the best odds among the teams to finish 5th in the West.
Yeah, LeBron, don't know. He's going to miss at least a couple more. So,
okay.
You're probably going to finish ahead of the Lakers.
Basketball Reference gives the Mavs now a 55% chance of finishing 5th in the latest odds, and they have an 81.4% chance of avoiding the play-in tournament. They've had a lot of unfortunate developments throughout the year with injuries, Luka, KP, and then the COVID and everything. If you can finish 5th, I would say that would be a positive indicator. The season overall disappointing. But, you know, if you can reconcile all this stuff. And then the other big one is just get to the remaining 8 games and have a positive experience in the playoffs, whether that's forcing 6 or 7 games. And Porzingis not getting hurt again, you know.
If you're the 5, go beat them. Go win a series. Go beat Denver. You know,
it's possible.
They're short Jamal Murray. They reinforce themselves at the deadline with Aaron Gordon. Go beat them. Go beat Jokic and Michael Porter and Aaron Gordon. Give a free agent a reason to go, oh, my goodness, they got something over there.
Before the moves.
Go beat them.
Before that move, kind of felt that way.
They lost Murray, though.
I know, but that was one of the teams they played well against. That always matched up pretty well against Denver.
I wonder what Michael Porter Jr. is averaging since they lost Murray. Is he getting 25 a night?
He loves to see the Mavericks.
Okay. 10 or 11.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, at 877-881-1053, if you have thoughts on those topics, the 817, Luka making more out of less, yes. But a formula for playoff success, no. Yeah, you know, I think that's what I'm saying, but it does clarify what your offseason position needs to be on Porzingis. How are we going to be the best team possible in 2021-2022? Well, we could do more and get another player. Is that going to make it easier? If you get a big fish to commit, is it going to make it easier to deal with Porzingis next year? Oh, hey, look at this, KP. Now you're the third option, even less shots. How's that going to go? Your asset is nothing. If you get a secondary superstar, that's going to make your KP situation worse. You're looking at a possible holdout, diva, and getting even less in compensation. So he is revealing to you by being hurt how the dynamics would go and what you need to have in mind when it comes to team building. I don't know how low I go. I'm willing to take less of a player if he's healthy. I'd love to recoup some kind of draft capital. You know, but I think as you head into the offseason, that has to be one of your top priorities.
I changed my mind about wanting to play Denver.
I started looking at the comparisons.
Well, I looked because I looked up.
Yeah.
Michael Porter does get him about 23 a night over the last 2 months. And and he does it at about a 56% clip and 43% from three. Mm-hmm. So they got a second star there next to Jokic coming into his own. But there's no better option. Like, I'm looking at the other teams above them. And I'm like, I don't know if there's a better option to play.
Give me the clips.
You don't want the clips.
Give me the clips.
When it's time to go, I don't want to play Kawhi.
Give me chaos.
I don't
want to play. Clips or chaos?
No.
Not chaos.
Not at go time. At go time, give me Jokic.
You matched up well against them last year in the bubble.
There isn't a good matchup.
There's going to be a day where Paul George plays well in the playoffs. That day is going to come one of these years, one of these decades.
It ain't happening on my watch here.
It's going to happen.
See, Denver's put together a heck of a team now around Jokic, and that's really what the Mavs have to keep in mind here is, you know, that's the team right there along with Utah that has significant matchup problems up and down that lineup.
I don't think they could beat Utah. That's just me personally.
I don't either. I have said team built for the regular season.
You're right. You're right.
And you match up against guys like Kawhi and LeBron. They're going to take your lunch money in the playoffs. That doesn't mean I think the Mavs can beat them in a playoff series.
I don't think so either. You're right.
All right. We got Steph Curry continuing to build his MVP case. This week he dropped 8 three-pointers and posted his ninth 40-point game of the season, leading the Warriors past the Pelicans 123-108.
Just makes me wonder what happened to that team when they played the Mavs. Like, it was a really big game for them, and we're like, man, the Mavs stink again.
Couldn't make any shots.
And then you beat them by like 50.
Mavs have won 20 games on the road. Think about that. I think there's only two other teams that have done that this year. Mavs on the road. That's something you need to kind of keep in mind.
The Mavs are the kings of random. That's what they are.
They are the kings of random.
They are the kings of random.
But yeah, there's only a couple of teams, I believe, that have won 20 games. I think the Suns are one of them, too, that I heard last night.
I don't want the Suns just because the Suns.
No.
But again, I don't want anybody. I don't want to play any of the teams. I want to play the 8 seed.
469 says 2-1 versus the Nuggets with Murray. Two of those games were without KP.
Yeah. But that I don't think they've played him since they made the trade. Porter lit him up last time here in I believe the last time they played in Dallas. So I think that the trade is going to make them look like a lot different team.
The Mavs also get this real weird level of randomness when they play teams. Like Trevor Ariza can't miss against the Mavs. Now, he couldn't make it in the second, third, or fourth quarter.
He was bad in the second half.
But good God, he had like 11 points 90
his name
seconds
called
into
a lot.
The game.
Yeah,
and I feel like that happens with random guys all the time. Like here's the Jordan Clarkson 30 bomb. Here's Trevor Ariza can't miss. Like it's just random dudes that you're like, what?
We'll leave guys open for some shots now.
It's like, what's
happening?
We're
not afraid to do that.
Okay, how about this one? No point until LeBron retires. Just tread. You know, I think there's something to that, but I don't think any team has become so good that you can't have an offseason to push you over the top. You know, look at what the Nets did, acquiring star players. You know, look at how good the Utah Jazz have become, or the acquisition. I don't think you can just say, okay, it doesn't matter. You still need to be trying to add good players every time around, because you never know when it's going to break your way. Like it broke for the Mavs in 2011. It was really adding Tyson Chandler. You know, Caron Butler got hurt. They had Peja Stojakovic, Corey Brewer, and it was a collection of those kind of guys that allowed it all to come together.
Well, and it might be breaking this year with, you just look at with LeBron and Anthony Davis being banged up. Like, look, they're the defending champs, right? And LeBron is a strong...
Might be the end of the run.
And he's a strong candidate for GOAT. But yep. Now they're going to maybe have to play in a play-in.
Yep.
And is LeBron finally reaching the point of his career where he's going to have to miss a bunch of games? And he might be not putting in a washed call, but he's, you know, he's not going to get better. And Anthony Davis is hurt guy. And Brooklyn is brand new. They're new together and they can't stop anybody. Like, this could be the random year where Phoenix, Denver, even Utah, like somebody like that could happen.
Sure.
It could happen this
absolutely.
Year.
You know, with the Lakers injury situation especially, and the Clippers still have not even come close to establishing that they're going to be a great postseason team. It has the potential, but
you're just looking at two names and you're look, I don't want to play those two.
And one of them, you know, he might have a pressure situation.
Theon Greyjoy situation on our hands.
It's a tough scene, isn't it? It's hard to watch with playoff P there.
It's not hard to watch when he's playing against your team. It's great to watch.
When we come back, G-Bag Nation, it is a Wednesday, and at 4:20, Jeff and Brian's segment of the day.
This is Jeopardy is next.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Every Wednesday at this time, Jeff and Brian's segment of the day. This is Jeopardy. And the segment is brought to you by American Can Academy, by My Computer Career, by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the Frankels at 214-333-3333 or go to truckwreck.com, guys.
All right. Hi, I'm Jeff. And this is Jeopardy! Now, Gavin's won 2 weeks in a row at least. So if you guys could cut that crap out and kind of get it together, that'd be great. Brian, Lucius.
On board.
Kind of just get it together a little bit.
Try. A little harder.
Today in Jeopardy, your mom's disappointed. I know that.
I get home and she says, son, I did not teach you very well.
Yeah. Well, we'll try again. I'll try to do less 90s and 2000s references, you know. Try to, you know.
Chance I have.
Today's category is in honor of the Cowboys releasing 6 players. Cut season. Okay. Cut season. Category number 2 in Jeopardy is Cinco de Mayo. Okay. Category number 3, Kyle and other Gibsons. Got that for you.
Mm-hmm.
And category number 4, Aaron Rodgers and other people who hate their parents. Okay.
All right.
Got that all squared away?
Exciting.
Ready all right. Good categories, Jeff, by the way. Good
Thank
categories.
You. Thank you. Lucius, you mentally, physically prepared?
I'm here, fam.
CBD?
I'm good, bro.
In? CBD
yeah, I'm
in?
Gravy, man. Okay. So good, dog.
Okay. All right. Kevin, where would you like to start?
Well, I would like to start with Aaron Rodgers for 100, Jeff.
And other people who hate their parents.
Yes, sir.
Is the name of the category.
All right.
He cut his mother out of his life for 8 years because she enjoyed his fame too much, letting the media into his childhood home for a TV special. All right, all right, all right. Brian.
Who is Matthew McConaughey?
That is Matthew McConaughey. Yep, 8 years there. Cut mama out. Yep, said get on out of here.
Jeff, let's go to Cinco de Mayo for 100, please.
Cinco de Mayo for 100. Wearing the jersey number Cinco, this former Maverick won Rookie of the Year in 94-95. Gavin.
Jim Jackson.
Lucius. Who is Jamal Mashburn? Oh!
My God.
Yeah, that's all right.
Oh, my.
It's all
right. Both of you. Yeah. Who is Jason Kidd?
Yeah.
Would be the he's number 10?
Number 5!
Oh, 5. Cinco. Cinco. God, what am I thinking?
Cinco! De Mayo!
I got my numbers mixed. I got
I was thinking of an 8.
And you were what number were you thinking, Brian? A 10?
I was thinking 10. Yeah. For some reason, okay. That's
for future.
I just found out Ocho Cinco is not 85.
I couldn't spell last week.
It kind of is. It's 8. Couldn't do this. 5. But jeez. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, man.
That's my bad.
I speak English.
Yeah.
Okay, well, for future clues in this category, Cinco
means five.
Is five.
I'm just going to put that next to it right here.
Yeah,
so
just
I know.
Put a five. Put a five. And,
oh, jeez.
Gavin, despite the horrendous performance by all involved. Hey. Oh, no, Brian, you have the board.
Yeah, I do.
Gavin
let's,
stole the
let's
board.
Try that again for 200.
Okay. Wearing the jersey number Cinco.
I got it now.
This man still holds the MLB record for longest hitting streak at 56 games. Gavin.
Who's Ted Williams?
Oh, I thought you might make that mistake. No, sir. Brian.
Who is Joe DiMaggio?
That is Joe DiMaggio. Yes, sir. And Brian, where would you like to take this game?
Let's go to 300 on this one. On the Cinco de Mayo, please.
In Rio de Janeiro.
Uh-huh.
Vin Diesel, Paul Walker, and the crew must do one final job before they can gain their freedom for good in this film with Cinco in the name. Lucius.
What is Fast and the Furious Final Five or something like that?
I mean, you're in the ballpark, but no.
Oh!
Gavin?
What is the Fast and Furious Five?
No. What is Fast Five?
Fast Five. I think I'm minus 600.
Oh, Mom, I might have a chance today.
I appreciate that you guys took a swing at it. You knew there was a five in there.
Was,
you knew it was Fast
was.
And Furious.
Yeah.
I appreciate you swinging.
I could feel Choppy just breathing down my chest right now. Like, fail. What?
You didn't know Fast Five was
what
the best
are you
one?
Doing?
Did you see when the tank ramped over the jet plane and they flew the spaceship underwater? Brian?
Let's finish out the category.
Okay. Cinco de Mayo is certainly not Mexican Independence Day. It's actually the celebration of the victory of this battle against the invading French army. Brian.
What is Pueblo?
The Battle of Puebla.
Oh,
hold on. One, I think that's...
One
think,
vowel there. We'll think, ask the fan text. 877-881-1053.
I didn't skip class that day.
Give him the points or not. First one that answers three times, yes or no, he'll either gain or lose points.
Oh, that was for 400, too.
For the, Pueblo situation.
Oh.
By the way, the French won the second round at Puebla.
Yeah.
But then...
We'll be back.
But then, yeah, but then eventually the U.S. finished their civil war, and they were able to come help out and able to tell France
I'm
to
gonna,
go.
They're not going to give me
We need
this.
To relax. Everybody needs just need to sit down.
Everybody needs to chill out.
Chill out.
Hold on. Let me check the text for Brian's point situation.
Told you I was going to give him the points.
Yes.
Man, come on, fam.
Yes.
Probably all from the same number.
Yes.
No.
Thanks, Mom.
All right. Plus 400.
Oh, man, that's tough.
Now, in that vein, should I go backwards and give Lucius the points for Fast and Furious 5?
Because
he was in the
it.
Ballpark. And get rid of Gavin's negative 300, which never would have happened had I given Lucius the points.
That's up to you, guys.
877-881-1053. Get your texts in.
I'm not getting anything much.
We might update
Lucius,
the
they
scoreboard.
Love you. They'll give you back your points.
I guarantee you they will.
They will give you your points, Lucius.
I guarantee
me.
They will. Watch this.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Give me the text.
Course. Yeah.
That's a lot of yeses. Here we go.
Oh, geez.
Plus 300 for Lucius.
Okay, so...
We're taking a minus 300 off the board for Gavin.
Well, I need it, too. I'm struggling
okay,
over
so,
here.
Okay, so this 300 here is Gavin, or is that Lucius?
I have my scoreboard. I don't know what
I
you're...
I need to keep
you're playing
too.
Tic-tac-toe. I don't know what you're doing. Right now, it's 700 for Brian,
all
negative
right.
3 for Gavin, and 200 for Lucius.
All right. I got that one right, by the way.
So, okay.
Let's
where
to,
would you like to go?
I don't care what he knows. I hate y'all.
Yeah. cut season for 100, please.
This annoying cut typically happens on a hand or finger.
Ooh.
Brian.
What is a paper cut?
That is a paper cut, yes.
What?
I'll tell you what. I don't want to curse this, Brian's mom, but your boy is locked in today.
He is.
He's locked in.
Cut season for 200, please.
This power punch is used in boxing. Gavin.
Uppercut.
That is an uppercut. That's how you know that Gavin's locked in, because he's not having fun anymore. He's just...
I grew up...
I'm embarrassed.
He's got
I'm
the
just
face
embarrassed. Cut season 300.
What are you embarrassed about?
Lots of stuff. Cut season 300, please, Jeff.
An edited version...
The fact that I'm winning this game...
Shut up, Brian! An edited version of a film that is supposed to represent Gavin.
Director's... What is the director's cut?
That is correct. Oh, director's cut.
I was trying...
And now Gavin is locked in. He's heating up.
I'll go cut season for 400, Jeffrey.
This way of cutting vegetables is also called a matchstick cut, as it is a very thin, stick-like cut. Brian.
What is Julian?
That is a Julian cut.
Holy cow. That's not even a real thing.
That is the real thing.
That's a plant.
Brian had been struggling so bad when I saw that there was a name for how you cut veggies. I was like, I bet Brian knows this, and I kind of put it there for him.
I was thinking I was going to say it wrong. I'm so worried.
I think the bag man is in play here.
Oh, good. Oh, that is a good plan.
Crawfish spoil this weekend kind of a thing, maybe.
Your boy can be bribed. I'll tell you that right now.
I can be bought now.
We got trivia tomorrow night.
Absolutely can be bought.
Let's go with, for 200, let's go for parents that people hate.
Aaron Rodgers and other people who hate their parents.
Yeah. Let's do that.
I can be bought for cheap, too, if anybody's wondering.
Yeah.
Not me, Jerry.
Send you my Venmo.
I'm going to back up that truck.
Her father shared photos of her as a child and was an alcoholic. The singer of Hello, Someone Like You, and Rolling in the Deep didn't like that from Dad. Lucius.
Who was Adele?
Adele, yes, ooh, sir.
Good job, Dad, Lucius. There.
Adele.
Good job, yeah. Lucius.
Rolling in the deep. Oh, stay with the bad dads or moms or whatever that is. I hate my parents.
Her father physically and emotionally abused her, and this genie in a bottle didn't deserve that.
Oh, Gavin. Man.
Who is Christina Aguilera?
Correct.
Oh, I almost said Barbara Eden.
I almost said Josh
Aguilera
Hamilton's
daughter.
Too? Easy, yeah. Dude.
Gosh.
Stick to the answers.
Aaron Rodgers for 400.
It's not Aaron Rodgers. It's Aaron Rodgers and other people.
Nobody's
who
got
their
this
parents.
Category right yet.
It was my favorite category.
We're
name.
Just, oh,
you will acknowledge it.
Every one of them.
Her father started staging paparazzi shoots at the house once she became engaged to become a princess. Her and Prince Harry didn't appreciate that. Gavin.
Who is Meghan Markle?
That is Meghan Markle.
Oh, I couldn't remember. Darn, I couldn't remember that name.
I tell you, Gavin, did you
that was see, risky right there.
You just needed that boost from that Fast and Furious situation to bring you back around.
No doubt about it.
Okay.
The director's down. Cut, I felt like, was the turning point.
Oh, that was big. Man, that was big. Good. You got that after four words.
Because that
could have
been a final cut, you know?
Could have been
anything.
Could have been.
Yeah.
Okay. Kyle Gibson, right, for 400?
Kyle and other Gibsons.
Yeah.
You may know him from Lethal Weapon, Braveheart. Gavin.
Who is Mel Gibson?
Oh, okay. Is that for 400?
No, 100.
Oh.
Or many unhinged offensive rants.
Antes, yes, it's
the end of that.
Yeah, pretty amazing, too, if you listen to him. Yeah, just if you're bored.
Which part was your
cocaine
favorite?
And bourbon.
The pack. I like the pack.
Woo. Yeah.
That's creative.
Okay.
Yeah, that was really creative.
Kyle Gibson for 200.
You may know him from Sweet Lady or the Fast and Furious franchise. Lucius.
Who is Tyrese?
That is Tyrese Gibson, sir.
Man.
Name.
Sweet lady, won't you be my...
So do we have all of the...
Yeah, we're down to just the Gibsons.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's stick with the Gibsons then.
300?
Yes, sir.
You may know this one for his 2 Cy Young Awards and over 3,000 strikeouts for the Cardinals.
Oh.
Brian.
What is Bob, who is Bob Gibson?
Yes, who is? Yes,
who is Bob Gibson? Yeah, yes, Bob Gibson.
Bob Gibson.
Let's finish out this game.
Oh, Bob.
Oh, boy. This one's getting hot. It's not his name, but this man has played a ton of Gibson guitars for Nirvana and the Foo Fighters. Gavin.
Who is Dave Grohl?
That is Dave Grohl.
Let's go.
100% it is.
I've been in my wheelhouse a little bit.
Which is going to bring us
grunge guy
to Final Jeopardy. Oh, well, I ran out of Gibsons, but there was a link there that was like people who have played Gibsons.
Gibson guitars.
I was like, hey, famous. He only plays Gibsons.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking for the audio daily double of Joe Buck.
Okay.
It's going to be a home run.
Oh, Kirk.
Kirk Gibson.
Okay.
Yeah. Or the JD story, you know, when John Daniels fought him.
Three.
John Daniels fought Kirk Gibson, the Dodgers World Series hero and great Detroit Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were hanging
fought
out.
Him?
Yeah, fought
or
him.
Got fought by him.
Well, yeah, got beat up.
Yeah.
Got pushed down a few times.
Got washed around.
They were just talking trash. And, you know, JD's not going to back down from anybody.
Score going
mopped
into
the floor with him.
Yeah.
Score respectfully, going, I say that respectfully.
Into Final Jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
Lucius sits at 600. Gavin, 14. Brian, 15. Going into Final Jeopardy.
It's anybody's game right there.
Yeah, because you guys are going to have to go big to fend each other off. And when you both miss it, Lucius is coming for the W. Final Jeopardy category name is The Play-In. The Play-In. You know, we got the big play-in for basketball coming up. The Play-In. Please write down your wager amounts.
You feeling good, Brian?
Don't lie about your wager amounts. I know you guys are all sneaky.
I'll just tell you right now, Jeff, I'm betting it all.
All of it? Okay.
Yeah.
Here comes your clue.
All of it.
To be or not to be, that is the question. is a quote from the title character of this Shakespeare play.
And what was the hint again?
To be or not to be.
What was the category?
That the play in, play. To be or not to be, that is the question, is a quote from the title character of this Shakespeare play.
Crap.
Doesn't sound good for Lucius, if we're being honest.
To be or not to be.
Mm-hmm. See, you nailed it.
It's the question.
Yeah, you got the quote. Lucius, we prepared?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. What'd you wager?
$400 here.
$400, okay.
Yeah.
And what'd you go with?
I went with Romeo.
It is not Romeo and Juliet. That'll be minus 400. You'll only leave here with 200 of nothing because I don't actually give you guys anything.
Thanks.
Gavin, what did you wager? All of it.
All of it, sir. And I, my answer is who is Hamlet?
Hamlet is the correct answer.
Let's go.
That puts Gavin at 2,800 points as we swing over to Brian. What did you wager?
I missed it.
Oh, no!
I went for 500. I said, who is Macbeth?
Oh, Macbeth. Oh. The answer was Hamlet, and Gavin brings it home via Shakespeare. Congratulations. Well played. Oh, is that a three time?
Yes. Was it Hamlet's name?
It was Hamlet. Yeah, Hamlet. It was the character who said it, and the play is called Hamlet. All right.
All right, for that Nirvana one.
That Nirvana one. I ran out of Gibsons.
Hey. Two is nice, three is twice as nice. Call it thrice.
I should have thought about that. Nirvana and Foo Fighters did lean towards one player, I think. Probably should have thought about that.
Yeah, it was questionable at best. Although, he did get the Tyrese one, okay?
He did get a Tyrese one.
I had no idea that gentleman even had a last name.
You were singing Sweet Lady.
I know, that was a good song. Yeah, that was a great song back in the day. Okay. So, Joe, it's a good song.
You did wager all of it?
I did.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, 14 hundo. Okay.
So I wouldn't have.
Oh, you were still looking for the win there?
No, I was just, no. I was just thinking how bad my strategy
can't
was.
Can't accept it. He was like, well, let me see. Hold on, one more time. Run it back again.
No. I just wanted to make sure.
No, Lucius had the best wager of 400. That would have left him at 200 and us battling it out.
Yeah.
He could have got the dub right there. Yeah. All right, it is the G-Bag Nation here, and it's time to go around the NFL in a history-making sponsorship in pro football is next in the nation. All right, welcome back, Nation. Hope you're having a great day. All righty. It is time to go around the NFL, brought to you by Metter Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. All right, which one of you wild and crazy guys wants this?
It depends. Are you ready for rage? Do you want rage on first down, or do you want to wait for some rage?
I'll rage.
Not Richie and Grego, but
it is a tradition in this time slot.
No, just anger. Got a lot of anger.
Let's have the extravaganza.
I got a lot of anger here. For first.
Grego's junk.
You want that for first down?
Yeah.
You want Jeffrey's junk? I hope Lucius will join me in the outrage on this particular down. Because, Lucius, you're a fellow enjoys track and field guy, correct?
Absolutely.
DK Metcalf, Seahawks wide receiver, is going to run at the USA Track and Field Golden Games this Saturday. He's going to run the 100-meter dash to attempt to qualify for the U.S. trials.
Prepare to qualify.
To try to run in the Olympics.
Anybody? No?
No. What's that from?
Pole position? Brian, you had to get that.
I'm sorry, I was reading
my
story.
You drop in the quarter and pole position, it goes, prepare to qualify.
Oh, that's exactly right. I'm sorry, General, I was reading my story here. My bad.
Get it together, dude.
Sorry, man, I was thinking of power to pad, you know?
Yeah?
No, he's absolutely prepared to qualify. Yeah. He's absolutely right. Yep. Sorry.
So I just this is for football players everywhere. As a man who has played football and has seen track and field happening during practice, because at a Division II school, a lot of times you can be near each other in the same space. The fast football guys, you ain't qualifying for the 100 in the Olympics, okay?
What's the big diff, you think? All the practice and the technique that goes into
20 years of training to get out of the blocks.
Yeah.
Your form and your ability to hold top. Actually, I think that's the one part Metcalf can kind of do is hold top end speed. Like we saw when he ran down Buda Baker. Like he is a get going and long strider. But DK Metcalf is going to go out there and run a 10.8 or a 10.9 or an 11 flat. Like he's going to get smoked.
What are the winners going to run?
The winners will probably run between 10 flat and 10.1 if I had to guess, because a lot of guys have already qualified for the trials. But like one of the guys that's running this weekend is on the defending United States World Championship 4x1 team.
Oops.
Like he's going to go run a 10.05 or something. And like if DK Metcalf is doing it because he's like, man, this would be a cool experience, this is going to be fun, then that's cool. But if you are a football fan that thinks DK Metcalf has any chance of beating world-class sprinters to get ready for the Olympic trials, you're insane.
Do you think he can close? I mean, his start might...
I think he can finish well.
I think his start might be a problem because always those guys, the first three steps of that start, those guys are almost parallel to the ground when they go.
And you're not trying to chase down Buda Baker this time. You're trying to run down dudes who run a 4-1.
He's in spikes. I'm just saying his finish will probably be better than how he starts.
Yes.
That would be my guess.
We did this once at college because we had a guy who was going to the NFL that ran in the 4.3s. And one of the track guys, he was like, hey, let's race.
Smoke him.
And it was a guy that ran the 100 at Abilene. He smoked him.
Oh, man.
And Abilene's our guy runs a 4.3.
Yeah, Abilene's got a great track.
Smoked him.
Yeah.
It's different.
So track guys have a better shot at playing football than football guys have a running track, you think?
I mean, I guess it depends who you are. If you're in high school running a 10-4 and you play football, you could do either one.
Man, that has been the stuff that Krusty's have been trying to figure out for years.
But they don't know the angles and how to play the game. But they're just fast.
Right.
You know, they might even have the hands. They don't think the game out.
I mean, there are guys in the NFL that can really, really run. Like the guy who just got drafted, the Georgia corner, Eric Stokes. He ran a 10-6, I think, in high school, and that's state champion. 10-6, you win state a lot of times. And, boy, DK, like, if I can find it on TV, I'm going to watch because it's interesting.
Yes.
I just hope that he's going into this like, oh, this will be a cool experience and not like I can win this.
If he beats anybody, do they need to quit?
Yes.
Well, whoever he beats need to go ahead and pack the cleats up.
I think he'll finish last because my guess would be now that you're 235 pounds – my guess is, if I had to set an over-under on what he's going to run in the 100, I would set it in the 10-7s. And that ain't getting you to the Olympic trials.
Well, maybe in the bobsled event, like Herschel Walker.
There you go. Yeah, find a different sport, yeah.
Use an anchor for that, all that power and speed.
Yeah, that's what Lolo Jones did.
Yeah. She got in a sled. Yeah.
It is around the NFL here on your home with the Cowboys. Brian brought us a second down.
Yeah, thank you very much there, General. I was reading the story here about Brett Favre and what he's saying about Aaron Rodgers. And the Hall of Famer thinks that Rodgers is really unlikely to back down from his demands. And Brett went on to say, he says, knowing Aaron, and I think I know him fairly well, if he has a grudge, whether it be against the organization or a player or an arch rival or family,
friends. I love that it's Favre saying this.
Yeah, he ain't budging. And he said this on his podcast. He says, I don't see him coming back and saying, if this is not resolved, however, whatever the issue is, if it's not resolved or even if it is resolved, but the way he feels like they've one-upped him, he ain't going to play. And he says, again, Favre saying, knowing Aaron, he'll sit. Now, will he forgo a lot of money? But he's also got a lot of money. So, I know that's the thing. I know, Jeff, you asked me if I thought that he would play in Green Bay. I still think he's going to play in Green Bay. I don't think he's going to get traded. But it makes me, when guys like Favre, because I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is telling Brett Favre all his business, but it's interesting that Favre has this kind of take on this. But Favre's had some kind of off takes here as of late as well.
I just love that it's Favre where he's like, you know, if I know Aaron, and Aaron had to sit there and watch Brett do the exact same thing. He's like, if I know him, he's going to be dug in because he learned from the best.
Huh. Yeah, I think they're buddies and they talk regularly. I think he's giving you a fairly accurate representation, at least of what's in Rodgers' mind now. Now, maybe when we get to training camp, he'll figure out a way to get over it. But I think for the time being, they're going to drive this pretty hard.
Yeah, the thing that it's interesting, and this comes from Ian Rappaport, is that that if Rodgers does retire, he's going to owe the Packers roughly $23 million over the next 2 years.
Aaron Rodgers is embarrassing himself. I mean, as if being estranged from your family isn't enough. You know, there's other situations that genuinely... Deshaun Watson could say, you guys don't know how to run a team. I need to get out of here before I waste my entire career. In Seattle, Pete Carroll has decided he wants to play football like it's the 70s. You're Russell Wilson. He said, man, we've had a lot of success together. I'll go ahead and be quiet publicly for now. Mm-hmm. Privately, I want out of here, man. I'm not going to play this style of football. I want to pad my stats, or I want to play a style of football that's more conducive to winning. For Aaron Rodgers, it's like we fired the coach. And now the GM and the coach, nothing's good enough for you, bro.
Yeah.
And you're going to get traded somewhere else, and then that's not going to be good enough. And you're going to complain and always be pointing the finger. And it's just embarrassing. You know, it's just whatever his mental toughness state is or whatever his malfunction is, he needs to take a hard, long look in the mirror and figure life out, really. You know, otherwise, the end of his career is going to be one frustration after another.
I know the people in Green Bay, there's nothing they can do to make him happy. Yeah. That's their, like, listen, we love the guy. We respect the guy. You know, everything they say about him is nice, but then they say, there's everything we try does not work.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing we can do to make this guy happy.
Yeah.
And he goes, that's the issue that they run into on a daily basis.
It's unfortunate. You know, I guess they got a great talent. You have to manage it. It's not that uncommon of a problem.
He's really, really good at hosting Jeopardy, by the way.
Yeah.
Really good. I went back and watched it. Yeah, he's really good, bro. Yeah. He's in his bag.
You think they'll pay the buyout? You owe the Packers $25 million.
I mean, hey, game shows make so much money on television. Merv Griffin was a billionaire for just game shows.
Yeah.
He's got good TV hair, too. Aaron Rodgers does.
He killed it, man.
The Giants announced a partnership with Grayscale Investments. You're going to see Grayscale signage. It's the first cryptocurrency partner of an NFL team.
What do they do?
They own a trust that buys Bitcoin, and then they sell stocks of their company on the stock market.
So their company just buys Bitcoin, and then you buy stock in them buying Bitcoin?
Yeah, it's a way that you can be exposed to Bitcoin without actually having
like
to go buy
fund?
Crypto. Yeah, kind of.
Kind of
It's kind of like a mutual fund, but not exactly a mutual fund or an ETF. I'm not sure exactly what the difference is, but it's a Bitcoin trust. And they also have like an Ethereum trust, and they're working on a couple of different ones as well.
We're hot today, by the way.
Yeah.
Crypto,
yeah,
we're hot
looking
today.
Good.
Yeah, we're hot today.
I saw that several American banks who have been anti-cryptocurrency are going to start allowing their customers to buy crypto directly through their checking account, which is quite an escalator.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. When we come back, G-Bag Nation, the Gang of Seven, on which Cowboys pick was the best. What's Dak say about his ability to play games? We have audio on that. It's coming up next in the Nation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.